This is an iHeart podcast.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. Now I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now there's a barmaid there, good looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Hey, what would you like? My drink was, give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink. The guys come in. I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
Equality. We're going to have a long talk about equality. We're going to have a long talk about monuments and what's happening in our cities. And we're going to have a long talk about a young lady who just wanted a snack. All that's coming up right now on I'm Right. Do you care about equality? I want you to think about this before you answer. Do you actually care about equality? Do you know what it means? Do you know how much you care about it? How far do you want to stretch it? Now, as soon as I brought up the word, you probably immediately thought race. That's what we're talking about all the time now, right? You can't get away from the daggone thing. Race, black, white, la, la, la. It's everywhere. Yeah, I'm hoping you think people are equal no matter what their skin color is, but equality itself, we hear it all the time. We now have laws all about it. We have people being charged with crimes, others not being charged with crimes, all about it. What do you think about equality? Do you think it's something that even exists, has ever existed? Let me ask you this. I'll put it to you this way. Your child, God forbid, your spouse, parent, someone close to you gets in a car wreck on the way home today, needs emergency surgery. What kind of surgeon do you want? Do you believe in equality? Should your surgeon be any surgeon? I mean, that would be equal, right? Just pick any of them. Or do you want the best surgeon in the history of the planet working on that person you care about? Your kid's teacher. Do you want equal teachers all across the board? No, I want you to make sure that every skin color is represented, every religion, every gender, everything's represented to teach my little Billy. Or do you want the best teachers out there? You know the answer. You know the answer. Equality, standards, these are things that always get separated as soon as we separate them from you and from me. I can sit all day long and sound tolerant with my friends. Hey, somebody pass me another Zima. Let's talk about how equal I want everything to be. Oh, that guy wants to come in here? Oh, no, let's not. No, do we have to? Maybe we should move. You don't believe in equality. You believe in standards. It's just the line you have to take publicly, the line so many people have to take publicly is, I believe things are equal. Things should be equal. Equal this, equal that. You know what's real? It's not equality. Equality has never existed, doesn't exist now, never will exist because we're all built differently. God made us all differently. You know what actually exists? Power. And it's better if you have it and they don't. I know that sounds ugly. That sounds really law of the jungle-ish. It's still true. The truth of the matter is this modern Black Lives Matter movement, it's not an equality movement. Get out of here with that. It's a black supremacist movement, and I flatly reject it. The same way I flatly reject any white supremacist movement, Asian supremacist movement, Indian supremacist movement. I don't get down for supremacist movements at all. Because supremacist movements, and this applies very much to Black Lives Matter, applies to all of them. They're always led by power-hungry charlatans who know they can use a bunch of morons who feel oppressed to bring themselves up and enrich themselves. It's just like the white supremacist movement used to be. It's no different. Bunch of morons following along a bunch of power-hungry jerks who don't care about equality. They care about domination. And here's, it just continues to reveal itself every single day. The leftists in this country, and remember, Black Lives Matter is a leftist Marxist movement. It's all laid out on their website. It's not like you have to dig deep for that. The truth is the left has gotten themselves in such a position of power in this country, they can now put into place things they only used to talk about. And you and I have talked about this before. Maybe that's why we're so dismissive of these insane claims leftists make or these desires leftists put out there. Oh, I want to defund the police. And you and I will be all, oh, okay, sure. Oh, wait, they're doing it? Wait, what? Because they were never in such a position of power before. How many racist things have you seen over the past 4 or 5 weeks? No, I'm not talking about idiots in Klan hoods screaming at black people. How many racist things from these Black Lives Matter people have you seen over the past 4 or 5 weeks? If you haven't seen any, you haven't been watching this show, and you haven't been paying attention. It's everywhere. Violence, too. Assaults, looting, murder. It's ugly out there. Really, really, really ugly out there. And yet, it's almost like it's sanctioned. It's almost like it's encouraged. It's almost like it's allowed. Does that sound like equality? Or does that sound like the leftists have all the power and they're more than happy to abuse you with it? There's a couple in California. There was a Black Lives Matter thing painted in the street. You've seen this idiotic thing these people go through, and they paint Black Lives Matter in the street. And this couple, knowing what kind of movement Black Lives Matter is, an ugly, ugly movement, went out there, painted over it. They painted over it. Good for them. Guess what? Those people, for what you're seeing right there, are now being charged by the local district attorney with a hate crime. Not a single Black Lives Matter person who's assaulted someone over the past 4 or 5 weeks has been charged with a hate crime. That's not equality. That's domination. That's power. And you should always be suspicious of people who loudly proclaim how much they want equality, because almost universally, that means power. What do you think this statues and monuments and military base name changes are all about? Do you think anybody out there really genuinely cares about Fort Hood military base? No. They want to know they have the power to get it changed. And because most of the people on our side lack a spine, these people do have the power to get it changed. They will end up getting it changed. I have to tell you, I have been extremely encouraged by the South Dakota governor. Here's what she had to say.
I think it's important we protect our history. This isn't about equality anymore. This is a radical rewriting of our history to take away our freedoms and liberties. It's really trying to rewrite the foundation of this country. And so it's alarming to me. I'm thankful that the president made the statement that he made in his speech about protecting Mount Rushmore and other monuments across the country. It's incredibly important that we recognize that the founders, those in our past, are certainly not perfect individuals, but we can learn something from them, and we need to focus on the virtues they brought us as well.
Amen to that. And I have to say, I try to be pretty wired in politically. I owe you all an apology. I had no idea South Dakota's governor was hot. How did that happen? Did you know about that, Mitchell? I had no idea. Anyway, be that as it may, Don Lemon.
People are going to get and pick this up. If they're going to put someone on Mount Rushmore, considering the history of this country, the first black president should be front and center.
Add to Mount Rushmore. Look, I think that first of all, I think it's a more saleable idea than the idea of taking away founding fathers.
Yeah. I just need to give you a little inside baseball here for how TV works. Look, I've been doing this almost a year, so I think I know the industry pretty well. Here's how it works in television. You lead with your best thing. with whatever you think the audience is going to like the most. That's why I open up every show of mine with just me. Anyway, that's called your A block. That's what you lead with. Do you know Don Lemon does a major show for a major network, CNN, and opens his A block every single show by having the previous hosts stay over with him to walk him through it? Do you know what an indictment that is on the man's talent? It's not good. It's not good at all. I am grateful there are some people out there with the guts to step up and say, all these statues you're tearing down, taking down, bring them here. This is the city manager, I believe, for Newton Falls, Ohio. They issued a proclamation. Quote, a proclamation declaring the Newton Falls, that Newton Falls is the sanctuary, the statutory sanctuary city, and declaring general amnesty for George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, Ulysses S. Grant, Patrick Henry, Francis Scott Key, Theodore Roosevelt, and Christopher Columbus as represented by the statues of these great leaders, and volunteering to accept these statues that have been removed throughout the USA and place them in a location of honor in our community. Hallelujah. Here is the manager, David Lynch.
If we succumb to fear, then we're succumbing to the idea that is being driven by the people that are taking down those statues. That is the American values of courage and defense of freedom, the kind of values that we're not going to respect anymore. And here in Newton Falls, people do respect those values. And we're not going to be like other public officials around the country that are just silent in the face of this. I don't want to wake up someday in the future when kids are saying, who's that George Washington guy? That's not the country we want to live in. We want to put these statues in a place of respect, because while they may have had flaws as humans, these folks that are our icons had great achievements in their history. And it's really the bravery, the fortitude, and the things they built that created our nation.
Amen. Good for him. And I want you to remember something out there. This applies to everybody on the left and the right. If you're one of these anti-Confederacy people, take down that statue, those racist monsters. Look, I'm not championing the cause of slavery. Let's hope not. Let's hope nobody ever does that. But I want you to remember something. How do you conduct yourself in your daily life? Do you do and say mostly the things everyone else around you is saying and doing? Do you live your life trying to avoid criticism, avoid heat? That's fine if you do. Many people do. But understand this. If you're one of these people who just kind of goes along with whatever's happening in a given day, and you were born in Georgia, 1830, you would have had on that rebel uniform. Maybe what we need is a lot fewer people being sheep out there, a lot more thinking for yourself. Just know this, if you were a follower, you'd have been fighting for the ribs. All of that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. You know what makes me uncomfortable? The fact that the feds have been pumping money into the market for about a decade now. Now the debt's $26 trillion. Now they're keeping interest rates low. And now there are people out there who they have all their money in stocks and bonds. If you want to retire one day, why in the world would you gamble all your money at a roulette table in Vegas? My goodness, protect your money, protect your income. It's what you have out there. Find out about a precious metals IRA from Birch Gold. Go to birchgold.com/Jesse. That's birchgold.com/Jesse. Just get the information. That's all I'm asking. They have a free 20-page kit for you there. Birchgold.com/Jesse. We'll be back. Well, it's nice to know Atlanta has its priorities in line. You know, the Atlanta you've got to witness burn as if Sherman just came through over the past few weeks. Looting, murders, shootings going through the roof, reports I know for a fact from people I know in Atlanta of the cops standing down. And let's pause for that for a moment. Cops will stand down, are standing down. Oh, they're going to show up to work. They're not giving up their pension. They're not giving up their paycheck. But you realize the freedom an individual cop has, right? A police department and the cop himself. for a very, very, very brief period of time, I was a military police officer. They took me out of the infantry, maybe be a cop. I'm not going to go into it. Yeah, how fast I drove, what I actually did on a given call, there's nobody there controlling me. I'll make that decision. The Atlanta Police Department is standing down. They're not pulling people over. They're not confiscating weapons. They are standing down. Shootings, murders are through the roof right now. And during this time of low police morale, record levels of violence in Atlanta, which is saying something for Atlanta, the Atlanta City Council, well, they've decided they need the 8 Can't Wait campaign. This is 8 changes that can decrease police violence by 72%. And before I go into this, I just want to clarify. Reduce police violence by 72%. Keep in mind, as I go down this list, 9 unarmed black men were killed by police in all of 2019. I didn't make that number up, and I didn't mean in just Atlanta. In the country of 330 million people, United States of America, 9 unarmed black men were killed by police. This narrative of police hunting down black men for the color of their skin is entirely fictional, entirely made up, and being pushed on you from every possible angle. So keeping that in mind, here's what we got. Council members also approved a set of 8 measures as laid out in the 8 Can't Wait campaign. I hate these stupid slogans, by the way. 8 Can't Wait. What moron came up with that? Whatever. Which claims that these 8 changes together can decrease police violence, this might be my favorite part, by 72%. Oh, I want somebody to come stand in front of me and lay out how they came up with that number. Not 71%, not 73%. I've done the math, and this should decrease things by 72%. Question everything, ladies and gentlemen. I don't mean to get off on a side tangent here, but it's my show. I can do whatever I want. Question every single thing. You know what's amazing? And this is a big side tangent. Oh, well. I open up my radio show, The Jesse Kelly Show, nationally syndicated, every single day with a different history story from across the world, across the time. I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm all over the place. And I actually do some research for the radio show, I'm ashamed to say. A very tiny amount, you know, 2 minutes. But I do some reading and whatnot. And you can read about the exact same subject, not in an opinion book, in a history book, the exact same subject and get wildly different answers on numbers, on dates, on everything. Question every single thing you hear, every single thing you read. You can't get a straight answer on anything. And some moron that came up with this 72% reduction thinks that everybody's just going to take that hook, line, and sinker. Oh, that sounds good. Oh. Come on. The 8 measures are, this is my favorite, we'll come back to this in a minute, the banning of chokeholds and strangleholds, requiring de-escalation strategies, requiring warning before shooting. You know what? Let's take a quick step back here. Let's just go down this one by one. Let's begin at the beginning. The banning of chokeholds and strangleholds. That's probably one that has some of you going, oh, that sounds good. Oh, I mean, that's how they killed George Floyd. We should stop that. Okay, well, let me ask you this. Do you believe cops should be shooting more people? It's a simple question. Do you believe that? Because you understand that's what this does, right? You understand a chokehold is a very basic part of a physical confrontation. It's a very basic part of a police officer's escalation of force. If you ban the chokehold, you can't do an advanced finger lock like you see in the ninja movies. If you ban the chokehold, what am I going to do? If you don't allow me to choke him when he is resisting arrest, fighting me, maybe trying to kill me and or my partner, you forced me to take a step back and tase him, pepper spray him, or flat out kill him. Do we want that? Does that sound like something you want? Remember something. There are unintended consequences, and there really are unintended consequences for all these nice things you read about. Sounds nice, right? No more chokeholds! Well, that could might as well read more shootings. Next one. Requiring de-escalation strategies. They already require de-escalation strategies. Cops don't show up wanting to kill somebody. Are there some bad eggs out there? Yeah, but they already show up try to de-escalate. That cop who had to kill that guy, Rashard Brooks in Atlanta, do you really think that guy put on the uniform that day and hoped that he would get in a fight in a dark parking lot with somebody who would take his taser and turn around and point it at him in the dark so he had to kill him? They already require that, and they already teach it everywhere. Requiring warning before shooting. They already do that too, idiots, everywhere they can. Exhausting all alternatives before shooting. This is all saying the same stuff. They do that too. Duty to intervene from other officers. So, that officer who was charged with the killing of Rashard Brooks, he was supposed to tackle him and allow him to be shot? What does that mean, duty to intervene? Banning shooting at moving vehicles. Requiring use of force continuum. And lastly, requiring comprehensive reporting involving use of force against civilians. They already do virtually all of those things. And don't forget, we've seen the Atlanta mayor on TV recently talking about the violence, especially when that 8-year-old girl was killed. We went over it the other day. The horrible violence in her city right now. It was the Atlanta mayor, along with the Atlanta DA, who came out blasting away at the Atlanta Police Department and blaming them for that shooting. At every single moment she possibly could, that mayor was pouring gasoline on the fire. Now, she's found someone to blame.
And you think about the leadership or the lack thereof that we have coming from the highest office in the land. I think that you are seeing so many emotions play out, and so too often it's playing out in violence in our streets.
From the highest office in the land. It is astounding to me when you're a Democrat what you're allowed to get away with as far as just washing your hands of any responsibility whatsoever. It is amazing. I don't care whether you love Trump or hate him. Donald Trump's not in charge of Atlanta. The mayor of Atlanta is in charge of Atlanta. In what universe do these people live? And I'll tell you something else. I'll be anxious, very anxious to see what the residents of New York City do when Bill de Blasio, when his term is up, because we could see a radical change. We could, I dare say it, see a Republican get elected in New York City the same way Giuliani did after the last crime spree, because these people are running wild in New York, and at every step, de Blasio is encouraging it. Here's the police commissioner, Ray Kelly.
New York is the safest big city in America for several decades. A lot of hard work done by a lot of people. I lay the problems in New York City solely at the feet of Bill de Blasio. He has eviscerated the police department, just as you said. One of the most important and significant things he did was to eliminate the anti-crime units throughout the city. They are the real crime fighters. They're the ones that have been able to address violent crime for several decades in New York City. That unit is gone. The police are demoralized, retirements are at record levels, and the future is, quite frankly, very bleak in New York, certainly for the next 18 months under the de Blasio administration.
That is a gigantic statement from a man in that position. Ouch. Going to be some wild times ahead, ladies and gentlemen. All right, you know what else would be wild? If you got robbed. No, I don't mean mugged on the way home. You know you may have already been robbed and not know it of a lot of money. You see, there's this thing out there called home title theft right now. Your home title is no longer just a piece of paper. Your home title is online. And because it's online, these cyber criminals can get their hands on it and destroy you financially, easily, like it's nothing. They take your home title, get your signature on it, which they can do, go get a loan out against it, and you're stuck paying it back. Go get HomeTitleLock.com. At least go to HomeTitleLock.com and put in your address and see if you're already a victim, which you might be. While you're there, use the code Jesse. Get yourself 30 days for free. HomeTitleLock.com. We'll be back. Joining me now, Kurt Schlichter with townhall.com and author of a great new book, which we will get to in a second. But first, Kurt, we have lost an American treasure, an American hero. Lieutenant Colonel Vindman has decided he's hanging up the spurs and he's moving on to another life. Can our armed services survive the loss of the second coming of John Rambo?
It's going to be a struggle, but you know, look at all the advantages. He's not going to take up a lot of time at the PT tests. I'm looking forward to reading his book. It's going to be called Cooking with Carbs. So that's I look at him. He's as big on keto as you are, pretty clearly.
Yeah. Look, we're strict about it.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like a guy who just oozes self-discipline.
Kurt, in all seriousness, how does a guy like that get to be a lieutenant colonel? I mean, look, when I was in the Marine Corps infantry, a lieutenant colonel was not a small deal. That was a very, very, very big deal. That's a freaking battalion commander where I come from. How does that guy get to be a lieutenant colonel?
Well, there are lieutenant colonels who are battalion commanders, like me. And then there are lieutenant colonels who make coffee for 2 stars and do slides. And I'm thinking that's probably more his bailiwick. I mean, look, I was an enlisted guy for a little while, but you were an enlisted guy the whole time. And if some, camouflage grimace like him waddled in front of your formation, I think you'd be like, what the hell is going on here?
Kurt, I do see that the Never Trump section of the Republican Party, they are heartbroken that we have lost this man. But what does that say about that portion of the GOP, that guy? I mean, indefensible. What he did was absolutely indefensible. What does it say that the anti-Trump portion still backs someone like that?
Well, you know, it's the least unexpected thing of all time. I mean, the same band of invertebrate sissies who invented the conservative cruise and conservative failure, which they were a pioneering force in that. It's not like a lot of those guys have a lot of military experience. It's not like a lot of those guys actually know what a soldier's supposed to look like and how a soldier's supposed to behave. And, you know, all of us served with a guy like Vindman. There's one in every unit. And he's the guy you don't put in a position where he can cause real damage. You try and put him in a position where he's supervising the distribution of volleyballs at the rec center. I'm just glad he's out of the Army. I think the military has a lot of problems. And the fact that he says a lot of the upper ranks were retaliating against me actually gives me a lot of hope. He was told, you're going to need to go get like a rehabilitation assignment before you get any kind of real assignment in the future, if you even do. And I was just, my heart was just warmed by the fact that that some senior general officers said, this guy's just a turd. And I don't want
to. Well, that is a fact. That is a fact. All right, Kurt, where does, assuming Trump's presidency continues, let's hope, Lord willing, it continues after November, is he going to be in more of a position of strength during his next term than he was his first term? He was clearly hemmed in on all sides during his first term with Russian collusion and this crap impeachment and everything else. Am I being way pie in the sky to think he's going to have a lot more free reign in the second one?
No, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And part of it goes back to the Colonel Vindman problem. how that giant empty uniform waddled his way into a position of power in the administration demonstrates a problem that Trump had, which is no Rolodex. If Jeb, exclamation point, Bush had been elected, he'd have 5,000 other losers in a list that he could call on who could come and occupy his administration and would work for him, you know, on their shared mission of ensuring that the status quo never changed and that defeat came a little more slowly than under a leftist administration. But now guys like Vindman are gone. Now we've got a lot of guys in the administration who are loyal and they're experienced. They got almost 4 years of experience doing the work of making an administration run. So they will hit the ground running next year. And I think Trump's going to win. I don't believe the polls. I believe the polls are lies. And it's I'm looking forward to seeing some liberal tears splashing on the ground again.
Kurt, you got a brand new book. Pump it out there. Let's have it. I'm sure it's good. I've already started
like
it myself.
Bear. Boom. Oh, you got it.
The biggest lies
about Donald Trump and you. Fast, funny, sexy. You ought to get it.
Only if there's a picture section of me in it. Kurt Schlichter, townhall.com. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, my friend. Talk to you soon.
It is a problem. It is a major, major problem. How many people in the bureaucracy, how many people in the military are these career leftists, career government people? It is shocking. And when I say military and bureaucracy, I really shouldn't separate the two, because once you get to a level that Vindman was, one of these DC military guys, that's not really the military anymore. That's officially the bureaucracy. And when you hear numbers that over 92% of federal government employees vote Democrat, let me ask you something. How do you think that's sustainable? When an entire government outside of the elected officials are all pulling one direction, and you consider how much power we've given the bureaucracy, how much power we give these people, how in the world is that sustainable? You can argue a million different ways for a million different reasons on a million different things why Donald Trump should go this direction in his second term or that direction in his second term. You know, because presidents can't do it all. You and I like to imagine they can. Well, here's my list of 45 items and I'd like him to go down. You don't have the political capital to pull that off. You can pull off one, maybe two. Remember Obama? Pulled off Obamacare and that was really like the last thing he did. You got about one or two. If he gets one, I think he should clean out the government. I think that should be Donald Trump's mission in life, is to completely gut this federal government like a fish. You have to. Otherwise, it's going to be permanently entrenched there. Who's going to do it? If Donald Trump won't do it, who's going to do it? You know who. Nobody. It may not be the sexy thing you want. You know, it's not a big fat tax cut, spending cut, abortion, big border wall, all the stuff we care about, right? I care about those things like you care about those things. But when is there going to be another opportunity to clean up this government? I say there's not. I say it should be mission one for President Donald Trump if, Lord willing, he gets reelected again. All right. Well, when I think about the fact over 92% of our federal employees are only pulling for one side, it could keep me up at nights. In fact, it would keep me up at night, except I have an ebb sleep. And I'm not trying to rub this in your face, but I sleep 8 or, like last night, 9 hours a night. Every single night, I get that. And that didn't just happen out of nowhere. That happened because I got an ebb sleep. It's a wearable device. I put it on. It calms down those thoughts that used to keep me awake, and I'm knocked out. Not only do I go asleep, I stay asleep with an ebb sleep. And you can try it risk-free for 60 days. Risk-free for 60 days. Go to tryebb.com/Jesse. That's tryebb.com/Jesse. We'll be back with more. Joining me now, representative from Florida, Anthony Sabatini, who is not all about the mask requirements. Anthony, why?
Well, I think they're absolutely ridiculous. And if you look at the past conversation the so-called experts were having on them, we know that there really is no consensus. But what's happening now is the media blackout on anybody who's not on the mask train. For example, all of the countries in Northern Europe, Sweden, Norway, Finland, Denmark, all these places that aren't mandating masks, nobody talks about that. But they've basically realized it's a really popular way to inhibit opening up the economy. So it's a clever way of basically extending the lockdown by using, basically false claims about their, they exaggerate their effectiveness. Masks are effective in very unique situations, very close settings. But what they do is they grossly exaggerate how helpful they are in the situation in order to basically create a panic. And that's what's happened. We've had a really divided country over a topic that most people didn't really care about 2 months ago.
Why do you think they're doing it? What is the end goal? Because I agree with you 100% that this has become something they're using as a political weapon. But why? I don't understand.
Well, it's anything that they got, right? So with the the liberal left that's running the institutions, running the Democrat Party, and running the media, whatever's going to create chaos, whatever's going to basically divide the country and try to put Republicans on defense is something that they're going to be getting behind. And that's why you've seen this literal almost militant support for the mask mandates. And every city and county now in the state of Florida is just completely and totally checked their minds at the door and gotten behind literally criminalization of people who are not wearing masks, and actually pushing businesses themselves to also punish people who are wearing masks. So I think it's really just the sense of disruption that they're going after, to be honest.
So they just want general chaos around here? And I'm thrilled we finally have Republicans, at least a few of them anyway, standing up to this. They just generally want chaos, destruction? Who could want something like that?
Well, they're going to find anything and everything that they can politicize. As soon as you hear people say the words, we don't want to make this a political thing, you know for a fact that they've basically tried to co-opt that and turn it into politics. What they've done is they've said, hey, listen, this is not political. Let's make sure everybody's having a mask. They know that it disrupts the economy. It disrupts public space. It disrupts everything, and basically does, I think, contribute to the economic recession we're having in this country. And let's be completely honest, we've seen people on the left in various cases say, listen, I'd rather have economic disaster and chaos than see Donald Trump get reelected again in this country. And I think that's what they're rooting for. It's just another tool in their tool chest.
I have to be honest, while I am a fan of the state of Florida, I did not see Florida being the leader for freedom when it comes to this coronavirus madness in the United States of America. If you'd asked me 2 months ago, I would have said it would have been my great state of Texas. To be honest, we kind of suck, and y'all were leading the charge. What is happening to the GOP over there in Florida? Y'all the only ones with guts?
You bring up a really good point. 6 months ago, I would have said the Texas House and the Texas Freedom Caucus and Governor Abbott would have been, you know, a step ahead of us over here in Florida. But all of a sudden, I think somebody got Governor Abbott's put a bad circle of people around him, and he's getting really bad advice, and he's starting to look really weak, and he's given to a lot of these mafia-type local governments that want to create the chaos. In Florida, thankfully, our governor, although he hasn't been as aggressive on shutting down the mask mandates as I'd like, he's really stood fast and resisted the calls of the radical left. And, you know, one thing I try to bring up to people, or these are the same people that literally want to ban fossil fuels and everything else. So their grossly exaggerated claims when it comes to environmental science literally mirror their claims when it comes to pandemic science. They're blown out of proportion, and they don't mind the chaos and disruption.
What's next for Florida? People always wonder about Florida because it seems like such a purple state. Everybody remembers the Bush-Gore election. Last time Trump was down there forever, he was down forever on election night and then came back and won at the end. What is happening? Is it going redder? Is it going bluer? I know Texas is going bluer. What's happening in your state?
Interestingly enough, we're kind of staying dead center. Some would say we're getting bluer because you're seeing a lot of younger people in the state who I don't think have a very thought out version of their politics. They just sort of ascribe to whatever the media is pushing out. But the flood of retirees coming from the Midwest, especially in places like Central Florida where I live, I live 30 minutes west of Orlando, and the average resident is a Republican retiree from the Midwest and Mid-Atlantic who are coming down. They're coming down in such droves trying to escape places like Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Ohio, these kind of places, that it's keeping the state red. And so actually, our last governor election, although it was very close, Donald Trump won the state, but I believe that it was a point and a half or 2 points. I think we're going to have that again.
I've had my eye on this Ron DeSantis down there. How is he? I understand you would rather him do more as far as slapping down these mask mandates. He actually seems like an actual Republican who got elected and then didn't forget why. Am I crazy?
Exactly. No. Ron DeSantis has done a very good job. I'd like to see a governor actually push back on the local governments that try to rob our liberties. For too long, the local governments have kind of been ignored by governors. But overall, no, he's been absolutely one of the best. I think Governor Kemp in Georgia and Governor DeSantis in Florida have been really, at least in the Southeast and the Sun Belt, the two best governors when it comes to coronavirus response. Nationwide, I think the best, of course, is I can't recall her name, but the South Dakota governor, I believe it's Noam, who didn't actually lock down the state. She's actually been my favorite nationwide.
Florida Rep. Anthony Sabatini, thank you so much, sir. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Jesse. Keep up the good work. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Keep your eyes on Florida. Again, like I said to him, who would have thought? Couple months ago, if you'd asked everybody who's going to handle this whole thing, right, everyone would have been all Texas, definitely Texas. Our governor's lost his freaking mind. Florida seems to be doing all right out there. I think I'm going to have to go visit that state and see what I see. All right, we'll be back. You know the worst part about being married? I'm about to give you some advice, fellas. If you're not married yet, guys who are married, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. It's whenever she wants to diet together. Yeah, because women love to do everything with you. They want to do everything alongside you. She can't just diet. You have to diet with her. And you always get this line, it'll be fun. It'll be fun. It's not fun. It's not fun at all. And you know what it steals from you? It steals from you the glory of just raiding the pantry or the fridge at will and grabbing yourself a little snack. Well, we're watching some TV. You know what I need? I need chips and queso. Can I just go get some queso and warm it up, get some chips, sit down and just mow? You can't do that. You can't do that, so what do you have to do? Well, you're not going to not have the chips and queso. What do you have to do? You have to go over and you have to kind of look around and maybe, I don't see anything in the fridge. And then you take the queso, and then you kind of have to go over, I'm going to check and see if there's anything in the pantry. And you go over into the pantry, but now this is the problem. Now you have to get the chip bag open without making any noise. And she's already on to you. Now she's already on to you. She's married to you. She knows what you're doing in there. And she's all, what are you doing in there? And you're all laughing. I'm not doing anything. This is what happens when you're married. This is what happens. So when I saw this video of this little girl just trying to sneak a snack, I felt it in my soul.
Amala, put it back. You hear me? Open your eyes. I don't care that your eyes are closed. Put the snacks back in the cabinet, Amala. Oh, you sleep? Yeah, I see you.
Pretending to be asleep has got to be the all-time master move, I think. I'm going to have to come up with a way to develop some kind of medical condition for myself. So, sorry, honey. I had no idea. See you tomorrow. You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. It's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free.
It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off.
This is an iHeart podcast.